to the Gospel of John chapter 4 and follow along with the reading and the study of this passage of Scripture, John chapter number 4, verses 1 through 15. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not. Aren't you grateful for that parenthetical clause? Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. It's not saying that he baptized disciples. John the Baptist baptized his disciples. But Christ did not make it his mission to come and baptize anybody, but was baptized of John the Baptist, and his disciples were commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing. So that is made clear by that parenthetical statement in verse number 2. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. Now, quite often it is called Shechem, meaning one and the same place, Sychar or Shechem, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, 'Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." I call to your attention especially verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give them shall never thirst." I want us to think this morning on the subject, the insufficiency of religion. The insufficiency of religion. Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Christianity is not a religion, and religion is not Christianity. We need to contrast the two by way of introduction. Religion has to do with the worship of a higher power. Christianity is a relationship with Almighty God through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion involves rules, regulations, beliefs, and ceremonies. Christianity involves trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Religion emphasizes what man must do to satisfy a higher power. Christianity emphasizes what Christ has already done in satisfying the Father. Religion comes from below. It is man-made. Christianity comes from above. It is God-made. Religion originated in time. Christianity originated in eternity. Religion preaches an earned righteousness. Christianity preaches an imputed righteousness. Religion is loved by the world. You see, the purpose of the ecumenical movement is to bring all the religions of the world under one common head. Religion is a friend of the world. However, Christianity is hated by the world. You say, preacher, why would Christianity be hated by the world? Because of its exclusiveness. It does not include everybody or everything, regardless of what they believe, as long as they're sincere. You must know Jesus Christ as Savior. And apart from Him, there is no salvation. There is no Christianity. In religion, there are many different religions. In Christianity, there's only one Christianity. Religion sends people to hell. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were very religious people. And yet Christ said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." But Christianity takes people to heaven. Difference in the two. Religion was started by Cain. Take a moment to turn over to Genesis chapter number 4, and that goes way back. A long time ago, Genesis chapter number 4. Notice Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a shepherd. Cain was a farmer. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Adam instructed his children there was only one way to get to God, and that was through an animal sacrifice. Adam and Eve both had sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, and they had dressed themselves with fig leaves, which is a type of man's righteousness, or the best we can do is to make aprons of fig leaves to cover our nakedness. And God comes onto the scene and takes a lamb and kills that lamb, and takes the skins of that lamb and covers their nakedness, pointing to the fact that salvation comes through the shed blood of a lamb. And that lamb is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But that wasn't good enough for Cain. When it came time to bring an offering to the Lord, he brought the best he could find. He found the best turnip. He found the best potato. He found the best groceries he could possibly manufacture, because he was a farmer, and he thought, "Boy, God will really be pleased with me, seeing that I made all this on my own." And God rejected Cain and accepted Abel. Why? It was a difference in sacrifice. My dear friends, God's not interested in your sacrifice. He is interested in the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Cain started it. Cain started religion. And that religion began to promulgate, and it began to spread. In Genesis chapter number 11, It continued at a place called Babel. Genesis chapter 11, the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Isn't that amazing? They all spoke the same language. They all spoke the same speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Now, Shinar was located in the southern part of Babylonia. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they all be of one language. And this they begin to do, and nothing they will be restrained from which they've imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." What was their problem? Their problem was, you can get to heaven by climbing the tower. What tower? Whatever tower you're climbing today apart from Jesus Christ. You hoping and praying that that's a good enough tower to get you to heaven. You know, as a boy in a Methodist church, I was taught a little course, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder." Quite frankly, my dear friend, you have a hard time finding scripture for that. We don't go to heaven by climbing Jacob's ladder, nor do we go to heaven by climbing the tower. And God diversified the language of the people and stopped the whole thing in process. And the Bible says in verse 9, "Therefore is the name of it called Babel," or Babylon, "because the Lord did confound the language in all the earth." You see, practically all religions of the world go back to Babylon. Christianity goes back to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judaism is a religion. You say, "Well, that's a sacred language and religion of the Jews." It's a religion. Hinduism is a religion. Islam is a religion. And incidentally, it's the largest religion today in the world. Buddhism is a religion. Mormonism is a religion. Spiritism is a religion. Catholicism is a religion. Religion cannot satisfy, and therefore it is insufficient. Christianity completely satisfies and is therefore sufficient in all things. And that brings us to our subject this morning, the insufficiency of religion. This is what our text is saying. A person may drink of every religious fountain in the world, but he'll never be satisfied until he drinks of the water of life, which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person born into this world is born religiously incurable. By that I mean that all men without exception are born with a thirst for worship. And they all will worship something. There's no person living who does not worship something. Every person on the face of this earth worships something. Some worship nature, the sun, the moon, the stars, the wind. Those early Indian tribes manifested this over and over again. Everything depended on the natural elements. They worshiped nature. Some worship animals, cows, bulls, goats. And I might add dogs and cats and hamsters. Some worship Satan. Many years ago, a man by the name of Anton LaVey in 1966 went to San Francisco and established the Church of Satan. And there are hundreds of thousands of people who belong to this church today, and they're scattered all over America, the Church of Satan. Some worship statues and images. Some worship people. Example, Elvis Presley. I never will forget when the headlines carried the statement concerning the death of Elvis Presley, the king is dead. The king is dead. And I tell you, a large portion of our nation went into mourning, and they've not stopped mourning even today. There are some people who actually honestly believe if they go to Memphis, they'll hear Elvis singing, and they'll hear him talking. And they do their best to try and resurrect him. People worship people. Even agnostics worship. You say, well, who does an agnostic worship? He worships himself. He worships his brain. He worships his intellect because he thinks he's got it all figured out. And he's so proud of himself. Some worship pleasure, their appetites, drug addiction, and so forth and so on. Man was made with a threefold hunger. I want you to get this. Man was made with a threefold hunger. There is a hunger for food for the body. Now, you do without food long enough, and you'll be surprised what an appetite you'll generate. God made you with a hunger for food, and it's good to eat food. Maybe not as much as I eat, but nonetheless, it's good to eat food. That's an inborn thing that God has placed in us, my dear friend. I never will forget reading about the individual man who was locked up over in a communist country, and they did not like him because he continued to praise God for all of his blessings. He would thank the Lord for the sunshine. He would thank the Lord for where he was. And they said, we're going to teach you once and for all not to say that anymore. And they put him on strict fasting for 30 days. He had no food whatsoever. And they came to his cell and they said, what do you have to say for yourself? He said, I'm thankful to the Lord. They said, for what? He said, for my appetite. I thank the Lord for it. A hunger for food for the body, and without it we would perish. Second of all, there is a hunger for knowledge for the mind. Have you ever wondered why that little baby girl, that little baby boy, they reach a certain age in their infancy when they manufacture and figure out a few words, their most favorite word is why? Well, I've got to go. Why? Well, where are you going? Why? Well, I'll be back soon. Well, why? Everything is why, because children are born with a thirst for knowledge. They want to know, and that's a good thing. And thirdly, there's a hunger for worship in the soul. And every individual that comes into this world has a spiritual vacuum inside that only Jesus Christ can fill. And he's constantly trying to worship this and worship that and worship the other and follow this religion and follow that religion and drink from every religious fountain in the world that will not satisfy. The soul is a vacuum that man seeks to be filled. When Satan tempted Eve, he offered her food for the body and knowledge for the mind, but he offered her nothing for the soul. Nothing for the soul. So then, this is what I want to establish with our text. The wells of religion are insufficient. Always have been, always will be. Let's give a few moments to notice this story. And a beautiful story it is in John chapter number 4. When therefore the Lord knew, I've encircled those few words with red in my Bible. When therefore the Lord knew. Isn't it amazing that though Jesus Christ was a human being, He was God incarnate and He knew everything. Omniscient. He knew everything. He knew all the things that were happening. He knew things before they ever happened. He knew the Samaritan woman would be at Jacob's well at noon, and He was there waiting for her when she finally showed up. When the Lord therefore knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Now watch verse number 4. He must needs go through Samaria. Now we're talking about the country of Samaria, not the city of Samaria. He must go through the country of Samaria. If you have a Bible atlas, a Bible map, you can see you have Judea down here at the bottom. You have Jerusalem here. This is where our Lord was. And He wants to go to Galilee, which is way up north. And you must go through the country of Samaria to get there. That's one reason why He wanted to go. But another reason is because in the country of Samaria was a place called Jacob's Well. It was a place called Shechem or Sychar. And He knew that on a certain given day, that woman would be coming to that well to draw water, and He was going to be there and save her from her sin. Our Lord fully intended to save this woman. He fully intended to save this woman. There's a reference in John chapter 6, verse 37, that says this, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Everyone that the Father gave to the Son before He ever came to this world to die on the cross, He was with the Father, always brought up with the Father. He is the eternal Son of God. Back then, the Father gave to the Son some people that would be saved. And everyone that the Father gave to the Son would come to Him, including this Samaritan woman. In John chapter 10, verse number 16, is another interesting verse. John 10, verse number 16. The Lord Jesus said, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." He had been ministering to the Jews, and He makes a statement, there are going to be some Gentiles. They're not of this fold. They're not Jews. But they're also going to be brought in, and they'll be part of one fold, and I will be the shepherd. "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also," watch it, "I must bring." He's not going to bypass not one that the Father gave Him. He's not going to ignore anyone that the Father gave Him. And that's why He must needs go through Samaria. Divine providence. And you see that providence at work in verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour in Roman time." That would be 12 noon. It's time to eat lunch. But this woman comes to the well to draw water at the sixth hour. Verse 7, "Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me to drink,' for His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." Why were they going to go to the city to buy meat? Because it's lunchtime. So they went to town, get a pound of bologna and get a loaf of bread, get something to eat for lunch. It's time to eat. And while they were gone, a miracle takes place. This woman shows up right at the time when she should. Please notice providence is at work here. It involved a proper place, the city of Sychar, Jacob's well. God has a specific place for all of His sheep to be. He has a place for all of the saved to be when they come to know the Lord. We're not all at the same place. There are some people who were saved in a church service. There are some people who were saved driving down the road in their automobile. There were some people saved up in a sycamore tree. There were some people saved in an orchard. There were some people saved on the road to Damascus. But God knows where that's going to happen. It's providence at work. It involves a proper place. By the way, where were you when He saved you? You say, well, I just don't know where I was. I would carefully consider searching the Scripture concerning your salvation. It involves a proper place. It involves a proper time. The sixth hour. Couldn't happen the seventh hour. Had one fellow to read that and say, you know, boy, it's a lucky day for her. She showed up at the right time. She had to show up at the right time. Providence control that. A proper person. The woman of Samaria. And the disciples were gone. The obstacles were removed. Now, the Lord calls to our attention in verse number 10 that the woman was spiritually ignorant. Not because she was a woman, but because she was a human being of Adam's seed. And all men apart from Christ are spiritually ignorant, men and women alike. In verse 10, the Lord Jesus answers and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Oh, my dear friends, if you only knew. And I've said this so many times to unsaved people. If you only knew what you're missing. If you only knew who Jesus Christ really is. If you only knew how wonderful the forgiveness. If you only knew. It is Satan's business to blind our hearts and to close our eyes and to stop our ears. So man is a spiritual dumbbell unless God opens his understanding. Unless God reveals himself to him. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, why, you would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Please keep in mind those 10 tribes that left Jerusalem back in the Old Testament and went up to Samaria. They established a place up there they could worship God and not come down to Jerusalem. And therefore the Samaritans were a mixed breed of people. They were not a pure race whatsoever, and the Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. And yet here the Lord Jesus is a man from Nazareth. He is a Jew, and he's speaking to a woman. And she said, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. And the Lord said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. I want you to notice, church, very important truth here in verse 13 and 14. She was used to doing one thing. If you want water, you've got to work for it. Are you listening to me? You've got to draw it. The well is deep. And I get so tired of coming to this well and taking a bucket and lowering it down in the well and drawing the water and drawing the water and drawing the water. The water of religion must be drawn. It involves your doing something. It involves your effort. It involves your energy. But the well that Jesus Christ is talking about and the water of life that he's talking about is the gift of God. You don't have to draw it. It's already been drawn. It's ready to drink. And by faith, you can embrace it and drink it. And if you drink of this water, you'll have in you a well of water continually bubbling up and gushing unto life everlasting. Religion must be worked for. Must be worked for. Have you ever wondered why a certain denomination of folk? Now, I'll go ahead and the Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way. But I won't say that because it's not proper for a minister in the pulpit to down other groups. But have you ever noticed why they work so hard? I mean, let me tell you something. They'll put Baptists to shade on visitation. I mean, if they can't walk from place to place, they'll get on a bicycle like Mormons. They'll pedal that thing all over town. And they'll work. And they'll take their families with them. And they'll knock on your door. And they'll witness here and here and here and here. You know why they do that? To stay out of hell. They're drawing water. Drawing water. And isn't this wonderful that when Christ Jesus died on the cross, He's God's gift to His sheep. Eternal life. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to draw it. It's already been made available in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion must be worked for. But Christianity is received. In verse number 15, the woman said unto Him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." I am tired of drawing and drawing and drawing and working and working and giving and going and doing and earning. I'm so tired of it. You don't have to do that with the water of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. The need precedes the salvation. In verses 16 through 18, Jesus said unto her, "Go call your husband." Listen to me. The Lord Jesus said, "Go call your husband and come hither." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband." To have a husband, you have to be married. To have a wife, you have to be married. She already had five men, ran all five of them off. Okay? And so she just decided she'd freelance it out from that point on. And she was no longer married, but living in adultery. The Lord said that. The woman said unto Him, "I perceive that thou art a prophet." She tries to change the subject, and I don't blame her. When the Lord put me in the corner, I tried to change the subject also. I want to talk about the things the Lord wants to talk about. And she said, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. You say in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship," getting into a debate with Him. Should we worship in Samaria or should we worship in Jerusalem? And the Lord straightens that thing out pretty good when He says, "They that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth." The need precedes the salvation. Christ presented her need of a Savior. And in verse number 18, "He whom thou now hast is not thy husband." Religion cannot change lives. It only soothes the conscience. Yeah. I've known people before who had trouble sleeping, and they got into a religion. Then they could sleep pretty good because it soothed their conscience. Biblical examples prove the insufficiency of religion, and I will rush through these. Number one is Nicodemus, John chapter number 3. He was a very religious man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do what you do except God be with him." Please notice Nicodemus gave a good display of his merit badges. He really did. He had a good moral character. He knew what certain moral things were and strove after those things. He had a love and a respect for the law. Nicodemus believed that Christ came from God, and he also believed that God was in Christ. No man can do what you do except God be with him. And what did Christ say, Nicodemus? You must be born again. You got a good religion, but it's not good enough to save you. You need to be born again. What about the rich young ruler? Remember who came to the Lord in Mark chapter number 10? They brought young children to him in verse 13 and following. But in Mark chapter number 10, the Bible says in verse 17, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do? Isn't that a strange thing? We all want to do something to be saved. What must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Now listen, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things I've observed from my youth. Now, folk, he's either dumb or he's lying. And maybe a little bit of both. But from a moral standpoint, I mean, this guy, he's at the top of the list. And the Lord Jesus said, tell you, you're lacking one thing. Go sell all you have and give it to the poor. He wasn't saying that salvation is that you have to become charitable. But he was digging at the man's sin, which was covetousness. And the man walked away sorrowfully. He had a religion, but not salvation. In Acts chapter number 10, you read of Cornelius. He had a resume also. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. That's more than a lot of Baptists do in a lifetime, isn't it? Cornelius had a lot of nice, wonderful traits. He knew how to pray. He was compassionate toward those who were less fortunate than himself. And yet he was instructed to call for Simon Peter, and he'll tell you what you need to do. And Simon Peter came to Cornelius and preached unto him Christ Jesus. And I suppose the greatest example is in Philippians chapter 3, a man by the name of Paul, who was on the road to Damascus. Paul was a very religious man. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 4, that I might have confidence in the flesh. I want to look good. I want people to think I'm great. I want to have confidence in the flesh. If any man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. But watch this. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Every good accomplishment that Paul ever had, he called it D-U-N-G. I cast it out as waste that I might know Christ. There's a difference in religion and Christianity. Christianity is superior to religion in that it is sufficient and it does satisfy. The woman says, we know that when Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. And the scripture says in verse number 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he's come, he'll tell us all things. Verse 26, Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. All of a sudden, that poor, dumb, spiritual woman had the light turned on and she realized she was talking with the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. God enlightened himself to her, and she received him as her Savior, and she was so excited about it. Verse 28, she left a water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, didn't have anything to say to the women, they didn't want to talk to her, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She left a water pot. She's so sick of trying and struggling and lifting and pulling and digging and plowing and working and laboring. She was so sick unto death, she left her. She won't need the water pot anymore. She has in her a well of water springing up unto life everlasting. Dear church, there's all the difference in the world in religion and Christianity. She was regenerated. She was converted. And she wanted to share this with others. She left her water pot. I made this notation, and I believe it. Men need to leave the Quran. Do you know what the Quran is? It is the Bible of Islam. Men need to leave the water pot. They need to leave the Quran. Men need to leave the Book of Mormon. Men need to leave the Roman Catholic Catechism and all the writings of religion. We need to junk that stuff and come to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're not a Christian today, there's only one place that it can be found. It's in the Lord Himself. I trust that you look to Him and trust Him, for without Him, we have nothing. Let's stand, please, for prayer.